There was for this afternoon reading and meditation, with God's help, I've chosen to read from the first epistle of John, chapter number 5, and a desire to read the first 5 verses. First epistle of John, chapter 5, the first 5 verses. Želimo se pročita iz prve poslanice Jovanove, peta glava, prvi 5 brojeva. Prva poslanica Jovanova, peta glava, prvi 5 brojeva. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, from this morning's message, the thought of the armor of God and faith, and how we are to stand with faith, and has taken me to these few verses to read and to meditate upon, because dear ones, as we go over our lives, as we reflect upon our lives, we find moments of the armor of God where it has been let down. And we then oftentimes make resolutions. We look back to what caused that moment of lapse in judgment, or of anger, or whatever it is that brought us to a low state, in which the Spirit of God warns us, brings our attention to, so that we would repent and come back in a good standing with Jesus Christ. And as we reflect upon these things, we oftentimes just make a resolution. Okay, we identify, okay, I did this and this, so I need to just avoid this, and then things are going to be okay. But the actual source of sin clearly is identified in Scripture as a lack of faith, love. That's the source of all our sin, a lack of faith and love. And so, how then do we have a resolution? Okay, I'm going to love God more. I'm going to believe Him more. You can't. You can't will yourself, because that's given by God. It tells us he says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts when we have faith in Him. Scripture clearly, over and over, asserts that we are saved by faith. And when we have the faith, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. With that love, with that faith, dear ones, we have victory assured. Paul or John here says, His commandments are not grievous. They're not a burden to us. Why? Do we ever feel that there's a burden that I can't really let someone know what I think? I have to hold back. I have to hold back. That means that God's law is a burden to me. So our resolution is I'm not going to react. I'm not going to. And we think we didn't sin, but our sin is in our heart. We are guilty. We are guilty. If that's my desire, I'm guilty. And so I have to go back to now, okay, so what do I do? Faith. Faith moves mountains. John said his commandments are not grievous. Let's look at what Paul said when he is writing, when he is being forced to speak of the things that he has endured. He says, he's speaking of himself. He goes, I am more than a minister of Christ. I am in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. What does that mean? He was beaten so many times, he can't count it. Above measure. In prisons, more frequent. To the point of death, in deaths oft. And he says, he counted the Jews gave him 40 stripes 5 times. The Gentiles beat him with rods 3 times. He was stoned once. He suffered a ship. 3 times he suffered a shipwreck, not knowing that he's going to suffer another shipwreck. And he's going to have another imprisonment or two. But he says here, a night and a day he's been adrift in the water for 24 hours, a night and a day. I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in dangers of water. So in journeyings often, that means he was going through cities. He was going through countryside. He was in dangers of robbers. He was in dangers of everything. He was in constant danger. In dangers by my own countrymen, dangers of robbers. He said, in dangers of waters. In dangers by the heathen. In dangers in the city, in dangers in the wilderness, in dangers in the sea, in dangers among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He was responsible for all the churches that he had set up. He's responsible. He had the care of this church. He says, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, what does he say? I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He is not capable of doing what he just spoke of. And he is glorying in that. The fact that what I went through, it's Christ. Christ supplied. Christ gave me the strength to take me through all of this. I'm not here bragging. I'm here defending, he says, what the other preachers and teachers are saying against me. And so I will glory in mine infirmity. My infirmity is that without God, I can't do any of this. And so glory be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's invoking the name of Jesus. He says, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. When you invoke the name of Jesus, you have to have an absolute conviction that you are not lying. And the things that he just said, he glories not in those things, but in the fact that he, without the love of God being shed abroad in his heart, as he writes to the Romans, he says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is what enabled him to be victorious. As he writes to the Romans also, that love is the fulfillment of the law. Why were the Jews unable to attain unto righteousness? It says clearly because they lacked faith. Brothers and sisters, are we able to attain to righteousness? Are we able to attain to righteousness? Are we going to rely upon my resolutions, I fall. By my faith, I stand. As we read this morning, stand. Stand by faith. Not by, okay, I'm going to fall is what I'm going to do. And Paul said that. I will glory in the fact that I will fall on my own because God receives the glory for all that I have been able to do. His Spirit gave me the will to do His will. What it takes from you, what it takes from me, is faith. And we see, what do we read in Hebrews chapter 11? It takes us all the way from the beginning, all the way to the end. By faith, this and this happened. By faith, this happened. By faith. Not by a resolution. By faith. And so, dear ones, we are being brought together to this, where it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. When a man is born of God, he receives a new heart, a new mind. The Holy Spirit takes residence within us, directs our thoughts. There's no resolutions. There's no New Year's resolutions. I'm going to put this away. I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to do those are resolutions that we will fall by. And I know, brothers and sisters, we've all had resolutions. We say, okay, I'm going to now, next time this comes up, I'm just going to do this and this. We've already fell. We already fell. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And he says, by this we know that we love the children of God. What was Jesus' commandment? To love one another. He says, so how are you going to know that you love the children of God? When you love God. Well, how will you know that you love God? When you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. They're not grievous. They're not burden. Those things that Paul went through, he wasn't complaining that those were burdens. They were not grievous. Dear ones, when we read what the Apostle Paul went through, and that is just the Acts of the Apostles gives us just a few pages of the life of the Apostle Paul. Think about those things, the book that he could have written on what he endured. He said, no, I'm not going to. That's bringing glory to me that doesn't belong to me at all. That doesn't belong to me. That belongs to God. All glory. I will glory in the fact that I can't do anything on my own. We know we love the children of God when we love God. Because it says here, everyone that loveth him to begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if you love Christ, you love all who are begotten of Christ. How do you know that you love those who are begotten of Christ? When you love God. It's a continual circle. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. If you have been born of God, that means you love God. And I'm not talking about you went through baptism. If you have been born of God, you have overcome the world. And the world, we know what it is. It is Satan-driven. He is the ruler. He is the ruler. As we mentioned before, it was given to him by Adam. He became the prince of the world. And we have to overcome. And he's going to come at us through deceit. He's going to entice us with the world system, with everything about it. We're going to become driven along with the world. He's going to mask our true desires of wealth and fame and fortune. No, not me. As we strive, we say, well, we go to church, we love God, and so on, and we mask. We're deceived by our own desires, which are our own, which means we're not born again. To be born again means I have died to myself. And so he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And so what is the victory? He says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. How are you going to overcome the world? How am I going to overcome the world? How am I going to be able to not do the things that God is not pleased with? Even our faith. That's the answer. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That, dear ones, taken out of context, if you leave the rest of the scriptures out, you're deceived. If you don't understand what it means to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And the way you will find that is through scripture. To be born again, when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, are you not interested in overcoming the world? A world that hated my Savior. A world that hung my Savior on the cross. A world that murdered my Savior. I'm going to love the world. That's why it says we are just pilgrims and strangers going through this world. Are we going to become so entrenched in it, so part of it, that we lose sight of what the world and what the church is? We have to keep in mind who the world is. It hated my Savior. Is it going to love me? If I love my Savior, the world will hate me. And dear ones, when we believe in the Son of God, the world, we have no use for the world. The world is of no use to us. And we are of no use to the world. Just as with Jesus. And so our faith identifies us. And through that faith, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God. Not my love and your love, which is based solely upon the happenings of what goes on in our interactions and so on. No, it's the love of God that is shed abroad in my heart. And through that love, dear ones, I look at the commandments of God and I look at them as beautiful, pure, altogether lovely, desirable, much more to be desired of gold are the things of Christ, much more. And so, dear ones, when we read this morning of standing, we saw that it was through the shield of faith. Whenever we give in, whenever we lose ground, let's not blame it on anything but on our own faith. Faith hath saved you. Go in peace, Jesus says. If I sin, what's going to save me? Because it has now revealed the lack of faith on my part. So then, how? How then do I have that assurance that I am saved if I am unwilling? I'm going to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but I am unwilling to be born of God. As Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The love of God is that we love and keep His commandments. And so, dear ones, when we struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle, and every day the struggle is there, we want to please ourselves. It simply is identifying to us that we don't believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we don't love Him, because when we have faith, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And so those two, faith and love, are also so interwoven, cannot be separated. When we read verse 5, He that overcometh the world is he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. It is that belief that He is the Son of God that brings me to love Him, which then overcomes the world. That faith, that love in Jesus Christ is the victory. He is the victory. Paul faced, it was becoming more and more evident that martyrdom was certain for him. He was never moved. He was never moved. Dear ones, we get a flu, we get sick, and we're moved. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. We know how to pray when we're sick. Do we know how to pray when we sin? Do we hear the cries, oh Lord, oh Lord, when we recognize through the revelation of Scripture that we have sinned? Are we aghast? Are we in complete disbelief in what we just did? And what we're doing is what our minds are fixated on. If we have overcome the world, it means that we have been born of God. So now, dear ones, we look back and say, okay, so what now? When I read these five verses, does that mean? And I look back on my life and I see failure after failure after failure. Is that what Paul means? I will glory in my infirmities? How are you going to glory in your sin? No. He glories in the fact that he cannot do what God can do for him. So all those victories were God-given. And he praises God for that. But that came through his belief and love. That is the manner in which we can overcome the world. The world that hated my Savior. The world that crucified him. He says, I am not of this world. He tells us we are not of this world. But we want to fit in so sweetly with the world. We want to become part of its politics. We want to be involved. How involved was Paul with those who were persecuting him, and that was coming from the top? He gave all glory to Jesus Christ because it is He who gave him that victory. And so, dear ones, as we reflect upon our lives and we find failures, do we identify something as perhaps Let's say the source of my lust come through a computer. Okay, that's it. I am going to throw the computer away. Done. It's not done. The problem's not the source. The source is inside. It's internal. The source is the heart. You must be born again. The source is fall upon our knees and pray to God to give me the faith so that He would give me the love that I would hate the things which I now love. That I would hate those things. Dear ones, I know that all of us have experienced many things in our walk in life where we marvel at the things that we used to do and now we no longer do and don't have an interest in them. Complete victory over those things. But is that way in all things? Because it has to be. So we can't retain certain sins and say, well, it is better than I am better than what I was. No, all things must go for Christ's sake. For the one who died for us and enables us and gives us the power of His might, the power that raised up Jesus from the dead, is the power that we cast aside so easily when we focus on me and what I want. And so, dear ones, when we recognize, does that mean that I am now without hope? Do I feel that, well, I didn't know these things perhaps during the time of my baptism. I didn't know it as deeply as I know it now. Does that mean you need to get baptized again? No. Jesus is calling us. He's calling us all the time to come to Him in submission and repentance. And He will enliven. The love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God gives us the victory. The love of God takes us back to faith. Faith takes us to love. Love takes us to faith. Faith takes us to love. And dear ones, we have a shield that cannot be penetrated. No matter what dart He throws at us, no matter what he throws at us, Paul gave the list of what was thrown at him. Nothing was grievous. Nothing was a burden. Because he had the love of God. And so may that, dear ones, cause each of us to really just fall upon our knees to pray to God to give me the faith. What did the disciples say? Increase our faith. Did they say, increase my ability to overcome this or this? No, increase my faith. My faith which will give me that love which will overcome all things. Let's pray to God to give us a faith that cannot be moved by life and death itself. No moving. No moving us. No pushing us back. No giving up ground. Standing firm and fast. Though they will strike us dead, as they did Paul, as they did all the disciples of Jesus, other than John. Paul said, I can't remember exactly how he said it now, but he said, the will of God is perfect. Perfect. So the will of God was for him to go through all those things that we listed. Did he say, he said, the will of God is perfect. There's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with what I went through for him. He doesn't even look at it. It's something he did. What Jesus had willed for him, took him through. He said, praise God. Because I would not be able to do that. He gives the victory. Faith, dear ones, love, gives us a hope. A hope that carries us. Though deaths come, troubles come, and we haven't even tasted a glimpse of what Apostle Paul had gone through, what would we do? How would we react? under those circumstances? Faith and love is the only thing that can carry us. And so let's ask our Lord, who gives and blesses above our asking, that He would increase our faith in Him, that He would shed abroad His love in our hearts, the love of God that will love my enemy, that will always look to the welfare of you and not myself, ready to sacrifice, ready to give of myself for Jesus' sake, because Jesus showed me. And with His love, it doesn't come as a sense of duty. It comes out of a heart that loves you. How do I know I love you? How do I know I love God? He says, you love one another. And so, this is my prayer, dear ones, that each of us would truly be moved to pray for an increase in faith, an increase in love that will give us the victory. So when this short life is over, we have an eternity opened up to us to be with Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
I've been instructed in the way of faith and love in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that faith and that love that was at work in the Apostle Paul is still available for each of us today. Apostle Peter writes that in way of a prayer, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And a warning went out this afternoon that this world is hurtling quickly towards corruption and damnation. But there is hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. And not in a superficial faith and love, but one that is deeply embedded into Him and finds no strength in ourselves. This is experience of Apostle Paul. When he prayed for that thorn, about the thorn in the flesh, he received an answer where his faith and his eyes needed to be. Jesus told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, the strength of Jesus, is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." All the strength, all the help is from the Lord. May our faith be rooted deeply in that truth. May God bless His word. Amen.